Hi, and welcome back to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. We know you're busy, and we want to make it easy for you to understand how conflict may likely be showing up in a way that's impacting your team negatively. We've recorded the first three chapters of our book for you to listen to for free. Get your free audio sample at thriveinc.com/free sample. That's thriveinc.com/freesample. Today, we have a special guest with us, Preston Weeks. And Preston is a professional business builder, strategist, closer, and coach for impactful, high net worth individuals. Preston's mission is to make the world work for 100% of humanity. He builds people through his company called Formula EQ, and he builds companies through Operations X. You are definitely have a lot of companies there, but I love your focus, Preston. Preston's primary love is to work with people to create lasting permanent change and empower others to create more in the world. And he founded Operations X in 2015, offering business owners useful solutions to business owners to provide actionable solutions to help the success rate of the private business. With Operations X, they consult and train organizations and leadership in sales, messaging, branding, marketing, and operational cost reduction. Welcome, Preston.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I love your two focus areas. You build people and you build companies, and really building the emotional quotient or emotional intelligence for our listeners there in the on the human side, focusing on mindset and also helping operations or businesses run better. I take it. Say more.
Tell us.
Yeah. So I've been a serial entrepreneur my whole life. I started with one $1,600 car. I loved cars when I was a kid. And so I was trying to figure out how to pay for college. And so I'll buy and sell cars. So I bought this one car, you know, I got out of the auction, it had a bad head gasket, it was overheating. I didn't even have enough money to tow the thing home. And so it took me like 5 hours to get home. I finally get back, but I could trust in myself. I didn't know how to invest or do different things, but I knew, you know, I could believe myself. I sold that car and I reinvested in myself, and I kept doing it and doing it. And then I got up to two cars, and then I got up to 10 cars, and then I started another car dealership. And I ended up building that into owning and co-owning 15 different car dealerships and multiple verticals, from finance company to paint shop, mechanic shop, and different things like that. But that started me on my entrepreneurial journey, and which is kind of some of the things that led to my Operations X company. But also my Formula EQ company is focused around the mindset, positive mindset, and those types of things, and that emotional intelligence, like you mentioned. And that, to me, when I learned and I looked back at things, that's the foundation of everything, you know, because us as entrepreneurs or business people or whatever it is that we're trying to do, we only can operate at 100%. So we have 100% of us, 100% of, you know, who we are. So if, you know, 10% of us is sad about something, and 10% of us is angry about something, and, you know, 10% of us is stressed out, then we're only operating at 70% of who we can be. And that shows up in our relationships as, you know, a partner, as a spouse, as a dad, as a mother, as a friend, as a neighbor, as a business, you know, owner, as an employee, whatever it is you're doing, it takes away a little bit from your life. So I really wanted to support people. And so I built that, you know, company out, and then, you know, support entrepreneurs and people that are going through the journeys that I've been through, and, you know, trying to provide tools and solutions and things to help them succeed. So that's kind of a little bit about me.
Okay. A couple of things came up as you were talking. One, you know, when you were describing your automobile journey, your love of automobile, you know, I kind of got the impression you started off, you took home this car that, and you had to rebuild it. And then it sounded like you didn't rebuild the cars that you sold in your auto dealerships, right? Did you make a decision about what kind of car you, or did you keep building the cars?
No. So I got help, you know, I didn't know how to do it. I found good mechanics. I negotiated strategic partnerships and things like that. And I got people around me to support me in my goal. And that's one of the things I always teach, you know, people and entrepreneurs now, like when you hire, you know, you shouldn't hire the exact same person you are. You need to hire someone that has complementary, you know, skills and things that's different than you, that does a little bit different things than you. Like, for example, for me, Like if I was going to go type in data into a computer and, you know, do something like that, I'd be the slowest person on earth. You know, I can't sit there and focus and do that and do the same thing over and over again. And so I need to surround myself with people that can do that so I can get those things done, because it's, you know, part of doing business and getting things done. So, yeah, so I took the, you know, skill sets I could find, and I, you know, made relationships and use those to really build up my business. But I did have to learn how to do it all myself. And I was, you know, army of one for a while and had to, you know, fight through that. I was cleaning the cars. I'd, you know, buy the cars. I'd, you know, order all the parts. I'd let mostly mechanics, you know, do the work, so it was done right. And I'd list cars. I'd meet the clients. I'd do all the sales. I'd do all the ad posting. I'd help them figure out the financing. And it's like, going through all those different things teaches you so much. Sure, you know, sure. As you're learning. So yeah, that's what's given me the skills I've got today.
Okay.
That's great.
Now the second thing, so that makes complete sense to me. And I love that. We totally agree with you. You don't want to have a whole group of people around you do the same thing you do. The other piece that I was curious about when you were describing the, you know, sometimes you're sad, the 100%, and sometimes you're sad, and sometimes you're upset, and sometimes this 10%, this 10%. Now, I was curious how you almost made that sound like your emotions are diminishing return on your 100%. And so I was curious if that was how you interpreted it, or you meant for me to interpret it, or how would you, because that's a little different take on things than I might have. So I'd be curious.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, I do have a little bit, you know, of a different perspective than some people do. And obviously, you know, what I want to, I don't ever want to make anyone feel wrong, you know, for feeling a way that they feel. And so there's a couple different things going on there. But also, I want people to be able to choose what they feel. Because if they have something that's hindering them and that's holding them back from what they want to do, then that's creating a stop in their life. And that's creating something that's, you know, blocking them from, you know, being the things that they want to do or being the things that they want to be. And so I've, you know, come up with a lot of different ways to, you know, go around that and look at it and take those things and remove it from people's lives that get in the way. Because so often, you know, I'll say, like, this is one thing I hear all the time. You know, I'll have someone up, come up to me and I'll say, you know, oh, I had this whatever event, you know, this thing happened, and you know, I'm going to be so sad. I'm for 2 weeks. This is going to take me 2 weeks to, you know, recover from this. Mm. Well, what is 2 weeks? Like, there's nothing out there in the world that says, you know, we need to take 2 weeks to be sad or to be angry. You know, like someone offended something, you know, if say you're driving down the road, someone cuts you off. You know, you have like road rage, you know, you're mad at this person, you're feeling all this anger, then you're driving faster. You know, you're kind of, you know, feeling, you're honking at them, you're telling them they're number one, you know, whatever, you know, happens. Well, if someone, you know, I've had people tell me, okay, this thing happened to me. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be so mad for, you know, 2 days. And it's like, well, okay, you're actually creating anger to show up in your life for 2 days, if you choose to do that. You're actually consciously, you know, saying it or verbalizing it. And so your subconscious actually doesn't really know the difference between what your conscious tells it and what happens, because you're the input for your subconscious body to react. And so if you choose to hang on to, you know, anger or stress, those things, and it's limiting, you know, how you can feel and experience happiness, or how you show up, you know, when you come home to your friends or whatever, and they go, oh yeah, you know, don't talk to so-and-so, you know, they're really angry today. And
so it sounds like, let me just see, Preston, just to stay with you. It sounds like you, when people's kind of forecast that they're going to feel some way or get stuck in their feelings, that's kind of when your tools can help them intervene on that. So they don't get, they can kind of still stay engaged, even processing through whatever that was, so that they kind of move through. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so I built, you know, kind of mental tool sets and things to teach people how to overcome those things, how to get the control back in their life so that they can choose to feel whatever they want. And if they want to, you know, be sad, you know, or, you know, that's fine. And they can, you know, they can have that. But when they don't want to be sad, then it doesn't lead to things like depression or anxiety or these, you know, clinical types of things that become reoccurring patterns throughout their entire life.
Well, that's great. So let's help our listeners. Give us a tool. Let's say somebody is like stuck in their anger. What could...
Okay, I'll give... you can work with me.
Excellent!
Because I was just on my computer, and our assistant is the way who does a lot of the back-end technical work. And so...
It was getting pretty loud in the office,
We had a podcast that had to go out. We had something else that had to go out, and I thought it was all set up, and it wasn't. And I was just like, you know. I would say I was... getting angry. So, you know, and I still can tell she's still away for a few more days. So who knows what else is going to come up. So I anticipate that this is, you know, this is going to frustrate me, you know, until I have my reliable source back on hand. So help me figure out how not to stay stuck.
Yeah. So like when something like that pops up, you know, we have to really separate. And, you know, a really quick, easy way of understanding it is, you know, I think a lot of people make mistakes with, you know, not being able to separate the past and the future from different things. And where I really, really like to operate is the now. The only time is right now. Like we're sitting here, we're talking, your listeners out there, you're sitting there, you're listening to this podcast, like you're operating right now. That's what's real. And so everything, you know, we have fears or different things or concerns that show up that create feelings in our life that are in the future. And we have things that are happening in the past. And then we have things that we can deal with now. So you had that situation pop up and it's frustrating. And I get that. You know, I think everyone that has those types of, you know, moments, it's like,
on here today. So, you know, because my technical, you know, my technical skills didn't get it to you till the last minute. But listen, you know, so yes, but it's still not now. I get that. I think what
So then it's, you know, really intensely, you know, it's an exercise. It's kind of like going to the gym and, you know, lifting weights or something. You know, you kind of can work through these different things in your life and you can learn. And as you build these skills, you kind of develop, it's like developing a muscle, you know, for it. And the more you practice it and the more you use it, the more control over it you have in your life and the more you can deal with it. But looking at your situation and going, okay, you know, this happened, you know, I was frustrated, you know, I was really mad about the situation, or I was really panicked about the situation because it had time constraints put on it. It's my reputation out there, you know, this person's, you know, whatever, you know, all these things that we say right to ourselves. It's that inner dialogue. And when you look at it, but you took it into your hands and you dealt with it. You didn't shut down, which is a success. You have a win that you did. So you go, okay, I'm going to email him directly. I'm going to send him the link. You know, he communicated, okay, he's got it. And now that situation's resolved. So I did everything I can and now it's done. So now I have a choice because that's in the past now. So it's done. So I did it. So now I can feel, now I can choose to feel whether I want to hang on to that and keep that anger or that frustration or whatever that feeling is in your life. And usually it's something that you don't want, you know, usually it's kind of a negative feeling that occurs and you go, okay, I realize that. And now I've resolved that. So now I can find, now I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to deal with it anymore. And so I'm going to move that off my plate and I'm going to recreate myself the way I show up. And so, okay, you know, I had that situation that happened. I had that situation that showed up in my life. And, you know, I took power back over that situation. I resolved it. And now I'm here and I'm, you know, talking, I'm doing the work and I'm actually engaging and nothing bad actually happened because your event still went through and, you know, everything worked out smoothly. And I'm the one that resolved it. I can actually feel appreciation and happiness for myself that I did that. And I have the skills to do that. And I was able to do it in time and really look at what you want to feel from that and go, okay, I, you know, had this thing that was something that kind of threw me off, but, you know, I took that power back in my life. I resolved it. And now, you know, I'm going into something different. And that thing that's different, I'm going to show up differently in that space. I'm going to show up however I want to show up in that space. So say, okay, now I'm going into a podcast interview. So I'm going to show up as someone that's informative. I'm going to show up as someone that's energetic. I'm going to show up as someone that's out here to change the world and make a difference. I'm going to show up as a listener. I'm going to show up as a communicator. And you can create who you want to be right now and leave that behind you and separate that. And it takes some work and it takes some, you know, there's more things to explain there, but that's a kind of quick version of it.
Okay. Well, Susan, are you, you know?
Well, I liked where you were going and sort of like taking the win from how I was able to sort of take the piece, do what I needed to do to be able to show up fully in our interview. And I could see how that gut check to be able to say, you know, wait a minute, what actually is happening? What needs to be addressed right now? And the only piece for me that I probably, as I was listening, was like, okay, because I was thinking, you know, your work is the EQ, the me, what we call the me in our work. And then there's the, you have the business side of things. I think from the business side of things, you know, make Operation X, I think is your company for that. Where I would go with that is for me, I would probably have to put on, okay, so for this, what would be useful for me is I need to make sure going forward after my technical, you know, person comes back, that I communicate what I need so that same situation won't happen again.
Right.
Now that if I just changed the only the mindset part, that I think would create, I need to make sure I add this piece.
Well, yeah. So yeah. And that's exactly right. And that's also what I teach too, is what you're doing is you're bringing a plan and a clarity to, you know, what's going to happen in the future for that problem. And by doing that, and that's, I love that you stated it that way and you go, okay, but because you've got two different ways you can deal with that. You can, you know, hang on to that anger and right. You can be frustrated about that person. You could be thinking about that person. Why did she not do that? Why? But that's not helping you. That's not helping you do anything. That's putting you out of your space. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, setting you aside from who you can be and who you can show up, you know, right now and in between whenever you see that person. But developing a plan and a plan of action to take care of it can actually, that's what creates the ability to have that clear space now. Because a lot of times, and you see this, you know, really common, you know, in everyone, but especially with people that have like higher anxiety or ADHD or things like that, where, you know, they'll think about something, it spins around their head, you know, they get, you know, in this space all the time. And they're thinking about, okay, you know, oh, this person may matter. Oh, how am I going to resolve this? Oh, I got to talk to him. But if you can take that and actually plan it, like you were saying, and go, okay, you know, I'm going to see this person. It's, you know, whatever, you know, day, it's Thursday today. You know, I'm going to see this person on Monday. And when I talk to them on Monday, I'm going to communicate to them. And I'm going to say, hey, what happened, you know, really caused a lot of frustration in my life. And that's how, you know, I feel. And you don't have to even put the blame on the person, because when you put blame on the people, then they kind of get defensive. You know, they get kicked back, they get defensive. But if you tell people and you go, look, this is how I feel, this is what happened. You know, one of my clients didn't get the right information, and that was your job that you're supposed to do. And, you know, it made me feel really frustrated. It put us in a tough situation right before. And I don't want to feel that. So I want to make sure that, you know, I need you to have that as your responsibility and have clarity there, but you have a clear resolution and you have a plan for it. And planning when you're going to talk about it and when you're going to do it allows you to take it off your plate today. Because if you don't have a plan for it, then it's still going to sit there and you go, oh, I got to go talk to them. Oh, I got to go, you know, tell them this happened. Oh, I got it. But you know, if you go, okay, I'm going to see him Monday morning. I'm going to talk to him then. I'm going to say this. I've got a plan for it. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, that's what's going to happen. I can go and I can enjoy my weekend. I can go for a hike in the mountains and go look at the, you know, trees and, you know, have an amazing time, or, you know, whatever it is that you like to do.
I love it. Let me just, because I was listening to you two go back and forth, what it sounds like is I really like recognizing, hey, that whatever happened is now in the past and I'm here. I'm right here now. And what do I need to do to reframe and own what I did do? And then kind of you use the phrase, take it off my plate. We say, put it in your container, because the brain can only focus on one thing. So put it into your container or take it off your plate. So you're then setting your intention. So how do I, in this moment, how do I want to show up and resetting your kind of foundation? And then recognizing, okay, how do we, like Susan, you were saying, well, I don't want this to happen again. So what do I need to say? What do we need to do?
Yeah.
And planning for that, which we, our beauty of conflict is all about how to have those tough conversations.
Yeah.
And even taking that up, scheduling it so that you don't have to keep obsessing about it. It's going to happen Monday. So my brain doesn't have to work. I have space to do other things. So really kind of helping your system process through this so you have, you can be present to what is happening right now. Does that fit?
Yeah, exactly. And even too, you know, if it shows back up in your life, you know, if you get off 2 hours later or whatever, you know, because people, and that's why I say it's an exercise, because people have to really train themselves to do this. Like it takes time, it takes constant effort, it takes some, you know, reflection. That's like, you know, coaches, I like to say, coaches, we're like a mirror, you know, to people, you know, we help people see things they can't see. Doesn't mean they're wrong. Doesn't mean anything's bad, you know, with a person. It's just, I use a mirror when I get ready in the morning. Otherwise I can't see my hair, you know, and it doesn't look this spiky.
That's very good, Preston.
So I use a mirror, you know, to get ready every single day. And, you know, that's like these support systems that we can build in our lives are like mirrors, you know, and they help us to see things that we can't see. And it doesn't mean we're a bad person. It doesn't mean, you know, if I use a mirror to get ready, it doesn't mean I'm an ugly person, you know, whatever. It doesn't mean anything, but it's really important to have these support systems, these things, you know, around people to help them. So what I was saying is when you get down and you start to, you know, think back, you know, because a lot of things, people are addicted to their past behaviors. And that's where the work comes in. That's where they have to, you know, get used to it and constantly get, you know, evolve and, you know, kind of reprogram those behaviors. But if it comes back, you can reset your intentions, you know, right there and go, look, okay, I already have a plan for this. This isn't happening, you know, right now. I'm okay. I'm actually just, you know, sitting in my house and everything's fine. And, you know, it's comfortable. It's a beautiful day. And just really recognize what's real and what's happening, because, you know, it, when it comes back.
So, you know, just for the sake of, because this one thing I think sometimes coaching and all sorts of programming can always sound so simple. So I always like to kind of put it back and ask you, you know, I imagine, what would you say one of your patterns of behavior or
habits
was the hardest to sort of wrestle with? And yeah, what was that like when you, you know, were developing that muscle, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, one of the biggest, I'll say, challenges that I had to overcome in my life that literally changed my life, you know, was an understanding of something. And it was differentiating the two things, if that what I do and who I am are completely different. And I'll connect that down to the ground. You know, we have successes and we have failures. And so I had a company I was working on. It was this big project. I had my heart put into it and it got into a tough situation. And that company, through some complicated long stories, you know, basically it was set up in a position where it was going to fail. It was heading down. And in my life, I felt like I was a failure. Mm. I felt like I was failing. But the differentiator that changed my life was realizing that my company was failing and I'm not a failure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was something, you know, that was a really big point, you know, for me, is, you know, realizing that, you know, building that muscle up, you know, to, in my understanding of that, and then starting to apply that in my life, going, okay, you know, if I fail at something, I'm the creator of my life. I'm not the failure. I created this amazing company. I created everything it did. I created all the jobs that it provided for these people. I created, you know, all these things, and, you know, really appreciating that and separating that difference. So that's one example in my life.
And I love that.
And I can imagine it was difficult, because it sounds like, did the company then close or?
Yeah. So yeah, what had happened was, you know, I had things financed, you know, and the company that got financed was acquired by a competitor that I was working with on another company. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, we're not going to work with you because you're working with that other company. And so they called like $1.5 million in credit due in one day.
Oh, wow.
And they said, okay, you're going to, yeah. And so like, all right, you know, how do we deal with this?
Yeah.
And so it was a big weight on me. And I had to really go in and navigate that and figure that out and find my inner strength. And then I, you know, found that, recreated it, and came out way ahead of where I was.
I love it. I mean, that happened. I was in the Olympics and we lost. Mm-hmm. And I had Velcroed together that loss and my worth.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. It took me, and I had chronic pain, and it was actually Susan who helped me un-Velcro like that. Look at all that you created. You went to the Olympics, you got to the Olympics, and that, you know, so owning, I think that's what you were saying even in the beginning with Susan's technology challenge. Look, you actually did solve it. Like owning, you built that company, owning all that goodness. And so that you feel solid, hey, I'm a complete human being and that's separate from me.
Exactly.
Well, and even owning, we lost one race.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't, you know, or I lost the funding that I had or whatever, but that still isn't, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Which that I think is what you're saying. Get it down to what are the wins and the real losses or choices,
separate it all
and
out.
And then you really get clear.
Yeah. And that's exactly, you know, what the process is, you know, really identifying, you know, what happened and then identifying what you created from that situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what happened was a finance company acquired, you know, the company and they didn't want to work, you know, with someone who's working with their competitor. That's what happened. And what I created from that was loss and fear and depression and all these other things, you know, around it. But I created that. But once I recognize that and I go, okay, I actually created that. That's me. Like, that's the only place that they exist in the world inside me.
Yeah,
that's it. Right. And I'm the only one that has the power to remove it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I go, okay, I want to remove that and recreate who I am. You know, I'm someone that can build a business. I'm someone that can, you know, do these amazing things. I'm someone that can provide opportunity for people. I'm a solutions guy.
That's great. I love that, Preston, that success story. And I was even thinking, you know, the habit of the brain, and there's so much more we're doing now with neuroplasticity. With chronic pain was one of my habits. And I had to actually, when it would come up, say, stop it. You know, like, stop it. I am healthy, safe, and strong. And it really, I had a back injury for 10 years where that worked on it. I had a shoulder injury that came up and they happen in shorter and shorter segments, but so many people get stuck in that neural loop of recreating their pain, recreating their anxiety, recreating their depression. So you were doing great work to help people interrupt those processes and
thank you.
Claim their, you know, their space, their humanity.
Yeah. And that's why it's okay. You know, we create this stuff. It's part of the human process of what we do. And yeah, I love your, you know, how you did that with chronic pain, because it's not just emotional things in your life. It's physical things in your life. You know, our brain controls everything that's happening in our body. Like, it sounds crazy, but I don't get sick. I can't even remember the last time I've been sick, because I always tell people, I joke, I say, well, no one ever taught me how to get sick. You know, but you know, it's just like the chronic pain, you know, and you tell yourself, I'm someone that doesn't get sick. I'm someone that's healthy. I'm someone that's healthy. I'm someone that fights off disease. I'm someone that's powerful. I'm someone, you know, and I think, you know, there's so much fear out there in the world that like challenging for people and different things like that. But it's just like your example with the chronic pain. You know, we can program ourselves to overcome these things, and we can program our body, you know, to heal itself. We can program our metabolisms to be stronger if we actually believe it and we practice it and we work on it and do the heavy lifting, do the exercise.
The only, I do have one, you know, just, I always love things stir my mind. So my mind is stirred because I'm thinking of our, you know, I totally agree with you around the, you know, part of it is I have to have the mindset to say that I'm not going to get sick. I have a healthy immune system. I have a healthy, I know how to do this. I do think there are things where we also have to like look at, because I know I had cancer years ago and people always say to me, you know, you got over your cancer. How'd you do it? And I'm like, it's not, to me, it's not quite that simple, you know, that, oh, I just flipped a switch and I got it. Because I think some things are universal. There's an interconnectedness between us. And so even if I say, let's take, I'm going to talk COVID. It's probably not the best thing, but it's out there. And, you know, if I just say, look, I know I'm not going to get it. I know how to stay healthy. I may not actually be recognizing some, also looking at, but what does it mean from a universal level? How do I actually make sure I'm not just taking care of me, but I'm taking care of the broader systems? Not that I'm responsible for that, but what am I doing? And this may be where you take your EQ program into your
Operations X.
But I would be curious, even in your decision around I'm a healthy person, to how do you take that to, and I have a healthy organization that isn't just me, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I love that question. It's a great question. And it's something actually I'm speaking on at a keynote later today in a conference. It's in Canada. But so I used to run a renewable energy company. I didn't even mention that. I do like a million different things.
Kind of gathered that.
Take me all day to tell you all the stuff I'm up to. But, you know, I used to run a renewable energy company. And we as humans, we're actually like energy generators, you know, literally like we eat things, you know, we have consumption, we process it, we create energy with it. And you know, we drink the water and, you know, we have the intake. And so we're like, we're kind of like this energy factory. But beyond that, it's actually something that's measurable in the world. So there's things like EEG where they can do, you know, put the magnets on your skull and they can measure your brain or the, you know, the electrodes on your skull and they can measure your brain activity and things like that. And then there's a MEG, a magnetoelectroencephalogram, one of those big scientific words.
Sounds like you said Magneto, like the Avenger, not the
like
Avenger.
The X-Men.
X-Men.
Yeah, Magneto. It is. It's magnets.
Yeah.
So basically they can put like a helmet on around your head, and that helmet actually detects the energy, you know, that is coming out of your brain. So because of that, and that's actually science, and it's actually, you know, acceptable. It, you know, it's measurable. There's, you know, different things. They can actually pinpoint where the energy is coming from by having thousands of magnets on there that receive, you know, the energy. But we're actually sending energy out into the world. And that energy affects the people that we're around. It affects the people that we influence. It affects the people that we talk to. And so I'll give you an example. You're in a room of, you know, 50 people and, you know, someone walks in and we've all seen that person that, you know, is described as a person that lights up the room, as a person that, you know, brings that energy level up. And what's actually happening there is they're, whatever word you want to use, manifesting it, they're delivering it, they're spreading that energy that's actually real and it's actually out there and it's actually measurable. And the people around them have receptors. You know, our cells have receptors that actually catch this energy and understand it and interpret it in our subconscious mind, in our body. And that person's energy affects us. It's like if you're the same thing happens if you're around someone that's really down or someone that's really negative, and you know, you leave that person, you go, oh, you know, I feel exhausted. You know, I feel like I'm worn out, but their energy is transferring onto you. And so you can use this in leadership, in your business, with your coworkers, you know, and be, you know, program yourself to be that person, be that energy, be that light, be that happiness. And that type of a feeling is contagious. It changes people. It changes the environment you're around. It changes a workspace. It creates connectedness. It creates people that feel happy and people that want to show up and want to be there. And it's really a differentiator that is more than just heard and it's more than just seen, but it's actually, you know, out there in the world and it's felt.
Great. So Preston, just as for our listeners, if they wanted to connect to you or work with you, how do they find you?
Yeah, well, you can go to formulaeq.com and check us out there. You can sign up for our community. Anyone who wants to reach me directly, you can text the number 21,000, text Preston. And so the phone number is 21,000 and you can just text Preston. That'll message me and I'll message you back directly and, you know, help you or whatever I can do to help people, you know, level up. You know, I call it, you know, my level up, you know, type of approach to things. Wherever people are at, you know, if people want to get to the next level in business or personal life, and I usually combine the two, you know, because it's the same life. We wake up in the morning, people go, oh, you know, I'm stressed out when I go to work. It's like, well, you know, it's the same life. They're connected. Like you woke up this morning, you're at your house and you went to work and you're at work and you come home, you're back at your house and you're around all the people that you're, you know, socializing with and whatever, however you live, but you know, it's the same life, but you know, people that want to level up, and that's what I do. So yeah, you can text me 21,000, text Preston and you can get a hold of me and I'll help you do whatever I can to improve your life.
Excellent. Okay. Well, you've been delightful. It's fun to have you. And all this information will also be available in the show notes if you want to click there. And anything else that you wanted to say, Susan?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. If you want to take some of what you've learned on today's episode to the next level, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
Go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit to learn more. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit.